In the shadows of captivity, where hope flickers like a dying candle, Lila exists as a trafficking victim with only one constant, a mysterious protector with mismatched eyes who leaves black roses beside the bodies of those who harm her. For 8 years, this dance of protection without liberation has defined her existence. He appears when her clients become too violent, tends to her wounds with hands that hours before may have ended someone's life, and whispers, "I'll always come for you," words that become both her lifeline and her chain. What happens when the line between savior and captor blurs beyond recognition? When the only person who sees your humanity is himself barely human? The relationship between Lila and Dane Blackthorne defies simple categorization. He stalks her like a vengeful specter, calling her Flamma, flame, acknowledging her as the only warmth in his cold existence. His possessiveness shows in how he traces her scars, memorizes changes in her appearance, and rages when others mark her skin. Despite her conflicted emotions and anger at his refusal to free her completely, Dane remains Lila's only constant. "You're mine. You're the only person, the only thing in this entire world that is mine. My killer, my stalker, my lover," she declares with raw honesty. Their dynamic raises questions about connection in the context of trauma. Is his possessiveness control masquerading as protection, or a damaged soul's only understanding of love? As Dane reflects, if he'd been ready to burn the world for her before, it was nothing compared to the destruction he would cause now if she left, words capturing both his devotion and the dangerous edge of his obsession. Lila's existence within the trafficking complex portrays survival under extreme trauma. Her world is defined by imposed boundaries, a gated facility housing girls of different ages, handlers controlling her movements, and buyers temporarily owning her body. Within this prison, she develops essential coping mechanisms, emotional detachment, selective silence, and retreating into sleep. When forced into degrading situations, she escapes into the black hole inside her mind, a void she disappears into when reality becomes unbearable. After a particularly traumatic assault, she enters a profound dissociative state, feeling nothing, seeing nothing, speaking nothing, as she stares at the ceiling. She cuts her hair with a razor, symbolically severing connections to herself and others. Yet, even in darkness, Lila maintains an inextinguishable core of self. She collects black roses from her protector and treasures a note reading, "Your voice makes my atoms sing." The cracked ceiling of her prison room becomes a motif of her fractured psyche. Later, when Dane makes love to her beneath a ceiling that reveals stars, the contrast symbolizes her journey from captivity toward freedom. Dane Blackthorne exists beyond conventional morality, recognizing his difference since childhood, not feeling what other children felt. With mismatched eyes, one obsidian black, one luminous green gold, he was labeled a demon child and embraced his darkness, even burning his own hands while confronting tormentors. His fascination with fire is both literal and metaphorical. He observes flames with detachment, drawn to the colors, blue flickering to blinding white, deepening to oranges and reds. He often kills using fire, finding aesthetic satisfaction in destruction while remaining unmoved by suffering. What makes Dane compelling is his self-awareness. He knows he isn't good and acknowledges his obsession with Lila has evolved beyond mere possession. Though unsure if the tightness in his chest is what she calls love, he knows that in another reality where he could feel normally, he would love her completely. Despite emotional limitations, Dane shows growth. Initially seeing Lila as something to possess, he gradually prioritizes her needs over his desires. His first experience of something like love, without the emotional vocabulary to name it. When we first meet Lila, she's trapped both physically and psychologically, her identity reduced to trauma, her voice silenced, her agency gone. Her transformation begins when Dane rescues her after a suicide attempt and brings her to his remote mountain home. This sanctuary becomes the setting for her gradual reclamation of self. Simple acts take on profound significance. Exploring freely, preparing meals, experiencing pleasure, and making choices. When she initiates intimacy with Dane, whispering, "Make me yours," she's asserting her agency by choosing the terms of her surrender. The narrative presents healing with both progress and setbacks. Moments of regression, like when searching for tea triggers an emotional breakdown, become opportunities for growth. Dane helps her rewrite traumatic memories through consensual experiences. At Moonflame, the now transformed sex club where she was once hunted, watching consensual scenes helps her replace traumatic memories with pleasurable ones. Her healing culminates when she confronts her torturer. Though tempted by cruelty, she chooses to set the room ablaze, experiencing a rush of power and closure as her hell is destroyed. Identity emerges as a central theme, how it can be stripped away, reclaimed, and how it shapes our connections. Lila's journey transforms when she discovers her true name is Luna Kane and that her brother Tristan has been searching for her for 22 years, shattering her self-understanding. Her anger at Dane for withholding this information is tempered by understanding his fear she might choose her birth family over him. This conflict surfaces when she hesitates signing documents or startles hearing her birth name. Names carry significant symbolic weight. Dane calls her Flama, Flame, honoring her resilience, while her captors refer to her only as merchandise, dehumanizing her. When Dane gives her the name Mrs. Blackthorn, it represents a chosen identity rather than an imposed one. The revelation about her son Xander, given to Dane for protection 6 years earlier but raised by her brother Tristan, brings her journey full circle, forcing her to reconcile three identities: Luna the sister, Lila the wife, and the mother who made an impossible choice. The Annihilator presents redemption that acknowledges permanent scars while offering healing possibilities. Neither Lila nor Dane will ever be normal, yet together they forge a path that honors their darkness rather than erasing it. Lila's redemption comes through reclaiming agency, reconnecting with family, and finding purpose beyond survival. By confronting her torturer, she transforms from victim to avenger, creating space for her future. Dane's journey remains more ambiguous. Though he is killed without remorse, his willingness to put Lila's needs before his own, arranging for her brother to find her despite potentially losing her, shows genuine growth. Their relationship becomes a vehicle for redemption. Lila defines love as feeling completely safe, being accepted without judgment, trusting without thought, and prioritizing another's needs. The final image of Dane watching his sleeping lover, marveling at how she brought light to his darkness, suggests transformation without denying his nature. He shows how profound healing can occur when broken people find wholeness because of their damage, not despite it.